back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ways with a club. Here's Peterka. He's got a lane. Scores! You find 77 with that kind of room, and a lot of times, more than not, it will be in the back of the net.
Peterka opened the preseason with three goals, had two more assists last night in a 6-1 win over Columbus. He's the Sabres preseason scoring leader right now. When you look at the other, is there anything on ice that you still really want to focus on, or do you want to focus more off ice, i.e. as this group, this main group, is wrapping up its final practice before Europe? Like, what are you thinking about on this large scale assumption that everybody who was on the practice ice today is going to be part of the group going over to Europe, because we don't have it officially from Lindy Ruff? Like, you look at, let's just say, the group of nine on the blue line that would be rounded out, assuming a healthy Dahlin. And boy, did he, even at the end of practice here, look so good and fluid and effortless and skilled with pace. And this is after a long kind of two-part practice session here today, so this is a huge step forward. But you got your group of six, and then you could say Bryson, Gilbert, Flagg, rounding out the group of nine. Like, what are you thinking right now as this team gets ready to travel?
Well, as the Sabres need to travel with 27 players over to Europe, we've kind of got an idea that it looks like it would be 15 forwards, 9 D, and three goalies. So the nine defensemen. Maybe we've considered the Sabres having a top eight, right? When you consider Dahlin, Power, Byram, Jokiharju, Samuelson, Clifton, Bryson, Gilbert. Mm-hmm. But with Dahlin's injury, you're thinking, okay, well, we have an extra roster spot or an extra player to take to Europe. Why not take nine defensemen? Mm-hmm. It's hard to take an extra forward, having five lines plus one. Like, right. It doesn't make practice go easy. And I'm not saying that practice is the ultimate decider, but you're going to practice a lot. If you have lines, you know what you're going into. That's easy. If you have 8D, it's easy. Well, you take an extra D just in precaution and an extra goalie. What I would like to talk about are two things with this main group. One, Peterka, I mentioned on Saturday night, I had to go back and look at the numbers, but the fact that he scored as many goals as Tage Thompson on wrist shot last year, it was number one on the Sabres with 17 wrist shot goals, and he scored on a wrist shot his second goal, the 2-1 goal Saturday night early in the second. I think this is a development that I will keep an eye on all season long, because Tage has the big shot. Even Alex Tuch has a really significant shot. Never would I have compared J.J. Peterka's shot to those two, but in terms of conversion and scoring, he's found the back of the net as much as Tage Thompson on wrist shots and more than Alex Tuch. So I think this becomes a line that, in my opinion, is a shooting line. Like, Thompson can shoot, Tuck can shoot, Peterka can shoot. Who are you gonna look at making plays? They can all make plays. They can all shoot. I think that is another layer that I like out of that line now, which I didn't even think it was going to be a line when we spoke over the offseason. I thought, maybe Zucker, maybe Benson, maybe Kulik, whatever. Now I'm like, okay, well, Lindy's got a lot of experience. If he felt like Peterka fits there, let's see it. And digging into the numbers, I really like it.
Was there one more thing? You just said you had two.
Yes. The other thing is the Lafferty, Malenstein, and Obi Kubel line. And I know.
We're going to talk about them all year long, and we've talked about them every day since camp opened, right?
I know. And it's the the de facto fourth line, right? Like, Sabres are not going to make the playoffs by saying that line is their best line. Every night is their best line.
What if they are the third line? Because they're outscoring the third line. Like the first intermission the other night when I came on and said there's controversy. Henry Jokiharju has taken over as the number one power play defenseman on this team. Maybe Malenstein, Ove Kubel, and Lafferty are going to be the third line here.
Well, can we say there's a top six, which is
and a bottom
like very significant, and a bottom six, but it's like a number one six and a number two six, right? And whatever you mix in. But what I think it does is if you have the effort and the relentless puck pursuit that Lafferty, Obi Kubel, and Mellenstein showed, it just becomes contagious. It just, and you know what thing I saw? And this is a thing that in the NHL, it's gone away from it. Most coaches like the first forechecker to go in an angle and not commit to physical contact because they want that first forechecker to come back and be able to help on the back check. And then the second forechecker is the one that commits to the physical contact on the half wall, on the winger or whatnot. What I saw in the first two preseason games, and a lot of it was the Obi Kubel, Mellenstein, and Lafferty line, is the first forechecker, you go in and you hit. You go in and you make contact. That wasn't. That's not the case a lot around the NHL, and that was not the case with the Sabres. The first guy would always swing, angle, and come back to help. But the first forechecker, especially on that line, the Lafferty line, was hitting. And I think that's a change of style. That's a change in style in how the Sabres want to play. Now, it puts more emphasis on your F2 and F3. They have to be disciplined because F1 is committing. But F1 on that line was committed to physical contact.
Well, the other part of that commitment, though, is no matter what happens, high impact, low impact, continued zone time or quick transition the other way, the back check is the paramount importance here when things don't go correctly. And there were, again, incredible examples of it last night where, whoop, that didn't work. Boom, straight line speed back to your defensive zone and try to negate what just happened. And that is a huge point of emphasis for Lindy, and I thought it was very much on display last night. I do want to quickly just transition to tonight's group that takes on Pittsburgh, because we spend so much time talking about these lines and how they've been constructed and how consistent they've been since day one of camp. But the reality is you're going to need more than all the players that are going to Europe. You're going to need so much of this talent that's in Rochester this year. And when you look at even tonight's lineup against Pittsburgh, man, oh man, oh man, there are some names that we have not even had the opportunity to spend a lot of time talking about here in camp. And that is not to take away from how they have looked. You could call me scrimmage boy, Marty, because I feel like I've watched more of the scrimmages than I have of some of the other stuff. And I can't tell you how impressed with Konsta Hellenius I am. Yeah. He has already mastered that subtle art of looking like being in a vulnerable position. And whether it's a slight cold shoulder or just enough strength, even as an 18-year-old, to fend off, you know, these potential big hits along the wall and continue to keep plays going, I've really enjoyed watching him. I've noticed Olivier Nadeau more in the last week than I've ever noticed him.
And in the last 2 years.
Well, again, the first time he came into the he was not healthy at the July development camp, right? And so we've seen that road for him. But it's exciting to see a player that, my gosh, Marty, we go back to our friend Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet telling us in that draft year, like, Nadeau was one of, like, his sleeper picks. Like, you should get this guy in your stable. So it's maybe taken a little while longer. Spends last year in the ECHL with Jacksonville. Really liked what he's been able to do so far. And
I've liked Wahlberg. And that, to me, like, even yesterday they had a scrimmage. And he is a big boy, number one. He's got size. And I feel like there is obviously more to come, right? Like, he's got to open that door and learn to use his body and attack in certain ways. But I really have liked the foundation that's there. I think it's great. And then we mentioned the forwards, but I like to transition to the D because we talked about the offense by the defense and all of it. And Sevi Komarov, like in his first year pro now, like at Prospect Challenge, there was some good moments, some little moments that were a little shaky. But even yesterday, he scored a goal in the scrimmage, but every time he had the puck, there was some offense with Sevi Komarov. It was incredible.
He is such a treat to watch. I find him to just be involved every single shift, and I don't know how. And I love when players somehow are around it, and then you think, boy, look at his last 2 years in junior. You talk about being around it and being wanted and going right to the very end of a possible junior season, capped by one Memorial Cup win and one, you know, coming up just shy. And I will
say this. Defenseman of the Year award, like everything.
I will say this. Jack Rathbone, who's also new to the organization, he's been really noticeable for me. He's been an excellent first pass guy. You have Johnson and Prow, who for, you know, two completely different reasons are important, because we look at what type of year and how much of it for Johnson will be spent in Rochester and how big a leap does he take in his second year as pro. And you've got that reliable Ethan Prow. And then you've got Novikov going into his second year after the first was probably better than many could have anticipated it would go under Seth Appert in Rochester, and the very reliable, still to this point in time, AHL contract only, Zach Metsä. And I think, you know, whether Zach ends up seeing an opportunity in this organization or another, if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to find his way at some point in time. So, you know, there's only so much time in the day for us to talk about these guys, but
yeah,
definitely
we'll have
to
more time over the next week or 10 days, right? Because obviously, we know that the Sabres play Friday afternoon in Germany, but other than that, there's a lot of preseason games still happening in North America.
Tonight, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. That's why we just put the emphasis on these players that are in the lineup tonight, because those are the ones you're going to be hearing about. Those are the ones you're going to be seeing on the MSG telecasts as they pick up the, you know, the visitor feed, the Pittsburgh, the Ottawas, and Columbus, is it?
Yes, Pittsburgh, Columbus. Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Columbus, and then Detroit and on the Monday.
And then, of course, you know, we'll have the MSG broadcast from Germany on Friday. Dan and Razor, of course, are on GR with all the games. You've got some games streaming as well on Sabres.com. So follow the social channels for that. But I really wanted to put an emphasis on these players that you're going to see a lot more of over the next week to get. And we want to hear, like, we just rattled off a whole bunch, right? Tell us, like, hit us up on X at Sabres Live. And when you start watching these games, starting with tonight, like, who are the next ones? I'm really hopeful people see Hellenius the same way that I've seen him here through this first week, because I think there's been a lot on his shoulders since he, you know, was the club's first round pick this year, and I think he's handled it incredibly well. So what do you think of the Cole Perfetti
deal? I also think that this is a great opportunity because Michael Leone is there, the Rochester Americans coaching staff is there, already putting in the work for the start of the season. The group that's going to Europe, obviously, is the group that I believe the Sabres are going to start with, minus a couple of guys. This group that's playing tonight in Pittsburgh is most likely a Rochester-based group, but that's a very talented Rochester-based group with a lot of promises there for a lot of young players. Isaac Rosanne, like, is it disappointing for him to not be on the group that goes to Europe? Probably, but hey, let's
go. Doesn't mean he won't lead the team
young.
In scoring.
Yeah. You got an opportunity to play a lot of games now, and that's you get it going.
Yeah. Real quick, Perfetti gets his 2-year deal, $6.5 million total from Winnipeg. Just to put it into context, because we're always mindful of young players, contracts, next deals based on where the Sabres are at age-wise and next contracts.
So when I first heard Perfetti getting a $6.5 million deal for 2 years, I thought it was $6.5 a year for 2 years. I'm like, what is Winnipeg doing? Like, whoa, like they have lost their mind. And then I realized it's 3.25 a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I actually feel that's a win in the Winnipeg column right here. It's well paid for Perfetti, who had 19 goals, 19 assists last year, but it's still an unknown what he is. So you give him a couple of years to figure it out and he'll still be RFA. There still could be a home run for Perfetti in 2 years. He'll be 24 when that deal expires. So he'll still be an RFA waiting to get paid again. But I feel like that's a win for Winnipeg, getting him under 2 years at 3.25.
Quick break, back with more to wrap up Sabres Live right after this.